Now, tonight I want to just do something a little bit different. I want to read you three portions of scripture, not in any particular order, but I'm just going to read them as they appear, as they follow through. Each piece I'm going to read is taken from one of the Gospels. One from Matthew, one from Mark, and one from Luke. And I want you to hear what is said. Do you want to turn them up? It's Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. Matthew 8, the first one, we're reading from verse 23. Now when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Amen.
Amen.
There we have a reading from Matthew. I want to read now from the Gospel of Mark. You can keep your finger in Matthew if you like. But Mark chapter 4, commencing at verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, as his disciples, Let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. And he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now my final reading is taken from Luke's Gospel chapter 8, commencing at verse 22. And Luke 8, 22 says this. It says, Now it happened on a certain day that he, Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, Let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they, we got through. It's exactly the same occasion in the scriptures, but reported differently by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now I want to address tonight just the response of Jesus to the disciples. Because each of the gospel writers gives us something different that Jesus said to these disciples. It was in the same sort of vein, but the words were slightly different. In Mark's gospel, chapter 4, we read these words. And unlike you, I didn't keep the place marked. We read these words, Mark chapter 4, this is verse 40. But Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You know, that is an awful position to be in. You know, the disciples had awoken Jesus and, you know, they said to him, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" Did they not know who they were talking to? "Don't you care that we're perishing?" You know, this wind storm has arisen on the lake. Waves are beating into the boat. And it was beginning to fill up with water. Now, this isn't some ocean liner that these disciples are in. You know, this isn't a little car ferry that takes you across the channel. This isn't even one of those nice big fancy yachts that you see. And we saw some really fancy yachts a few months ago. We went across to Jersey for a mini break, and while we were there we didn't know this, but we arrived on the opening day of the Jersey Boat Festival, or whatever it was called, the boat show. And every available space in the harbour was taken up in some fancy yachts, looking yachts. Some beautiful looking things. You know, and just sit there and go, "Oh, you know what goes to anyone? If you had some money, I could just see myself at the helm of one of these great big yachts and sailing out." I said, "I think we said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could take this across from Jersey and park it in sort of Mdina, park it up on the side of Valletta or somewhere like that." And now, "Oh," we said some of these nice things, places that we've been, and these were fancy, but this wasn't a fancy yacht. This wasn't even, you know, because we've had this over the last couple of days in our house, you know. Debbie was so excited. I've got to tell you, she was so excited. You know, she was going shopping at King's Lynn with her friend. And her friend, we drove her out to her friend's house, who lives out at Tarrington. And Tarrington St. John. You know, her friend, she can drive. She's a little bit younger than Debbie, but she's passed her test. So she took them in the car. And they parked up at West Lynn and they took the ferry. And she was so excited about going on this ferry. We did try to tell you, it's not, you know, one of these great big things that you can get on at Harwich. And this is just a little boat. You know, a dozen or so people in it at the most. You know, and it ferries you across the views. And she was so excited about this ferry. But this boat that these people were in wasn't even that type of boat. This was just a small Roman boat. And they're out in the middle of the sea, doing what Jesus had taught them to do. And it says that the wind arose and they're in the boat and the boat is filling up with water. And they wake Jesus and they say, "Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care?" Oh. That's an accusation, isn't it, to the one who is able to keep them. What an accusation. "Don't you care, God?" How many times have we been like that? "God, don't you care this mess we're in? God, can't you see we're struggling? Can't you see we're in pain? Can't you see we're in turmoil? Don't you care?" And Jesus turns to them. Well, after he rebukes the wind and the wave ceases, he turns to them and he says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that anything from God?" A person without faith does not, we've already heard it. You know, somebody wants to put it like this, and I just want to add on to what was said a little while ago. You know, believers are receivers. Believing, if you believe, you will receive. That's what the scripture says. But if you doubt, you go without. That's a nice little ditty there, isn't it? Believe and you receive, doubt and go without. Why is it you have no faith? Or how is it that you have no faith? You know the scripture says this, that without faith it's impossible for us to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that. Without faith it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, the person with no faith cannot receive because he cannot please God. The one without any faith doesn't receive anything because he himself is like a little boat on the waves of the sea. That's what James tells us. We just read that scripture in James chapter 1. It's verse 6, I believe it is. It says, let him ask you faith. This is talking about anybody. It's anybody that wants anything from God. Let him ask you faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Then he goes on, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. The one who has no faith cannot receive anything from God, because one who cannot please God without with no faith. Because it's his faith that pleases God. Faith believes that God rewards those who seek Him. You know, faith isn't about a system of beliefs. You know, that's often how it's portrayed. You say, well, you know what it's like when you have to fill out these forms or documents, or you go somewhere like the doctors or into hospital or something. You get a list, and they want to know all your details, all your personal things. And one of the questions they ask you is normally about your faith. And what they're asking, they want to know what religion you are. That's what they're trying to ask. You know, what faith do you have? Well, faith isn't about a system of beliefs. Faith isn't about like Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or Christianity or Islam. It's not any type of those systems. Faith is trusting someone or something. That's in fact the word faith really is. To be, it's about being fully persuaded. It talks to Abraham in Romans. It tells us about Abraham. Says that he was fully persuaded. He was in faith. You know, he was persuaded enough about something. And that was his faith. When you're certain and you're persuaded about something, you can put your total dependency upon it. And that's faith. Now, we're talking about faith, we're talking about faith in God. Putting your total dependency upon God. Now, these disciples weren't doing that. You know, they were, teach, don't you care that we're perishing? And he says, how is it that you have no faith? You know, their dependence, or they were looking at the wind, they were looking at the waves, they were looking at the water that was rapidly filling the boat, they were looking at the water level of the sea, the sea level that was getting closer to the top of the little vessel that they were in. Probably frantically as hard as they can, trying to bow some of this water out of the boat. How is it you have no faith? See, faith is believing. As I said, it's being fully persuaded. Faith produces hope. And the person with no faith has no hope. There's no hope for the person without faith. See, faith produces hope. And that's not the hope that says, well, I wish it would happen, or I wish this water would soon leave the boat, or I wish my sickness would leave my body. You know, we recently had a healing crusade here, and you know, on the prayer cards, I don't know whether you saw one of the prayer cards or not, but one of the prayer on the prayer cards, it asks a question, and it says, do you believe God can heal you? You know, as the card was handed in, and we read them, it's surprising how many people on that card have written, I hope so. I resort. You know, we come to God as the very last thing, you know, we do everything else first. And there's nothing wrong with going to the doctors or taking the medicine or not, but very often that's turning to God is people's last hope. They're the last, but it should be your first hope. The way you go first of all, then you take the medicine, then you go to the doctor. But come to God. You know, put your faith in God first. You know, the person with no faith has no hope. And hope isn't that wishing that something would happen or that just a desire, but hope is, and the definition of the word hope, as we read it in the scriptures, is joyful, confident expectation. That you expect something's going to happen. That's hope. Now that's not a wish. That's expectation. And that's why faith produces, because when you're fully persuaded about something, you can confidently expect. When you're persuaded that what God says is true, you can confidently expect God to perform His word. You know, faith produces hope. If you're not fully persuaded, how can you expect anything from God? If you're not in faith, how can you expect anything? Because no faith equals no hope. And that's a sad place to be, without faith. Now let's just turn over to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 8 we read. We're going to see what Jesus said to the disciples, or how Matthew interprets what he said. This is Matthew 8, verse 26. He says, "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?'" Now, he's not saying they've got no faith. He's asking, saying, "Why you got little faith? Why is your faith so little?" Well, having little faith is better than having no faith. Because as we've seen, faith pleases God. So if you've got little faith, you qualify to please God. And if you please God, and you come into God, you believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, you are in the place to receive from God. You know, there was an occasion in the scriptures where the disciples came to Jesus, and they said to Him, "Increase our faith." And we probably all pray that prayer from time to time. "Lord, increase my faith." You might have heard people say this. "Well, I haven't really got the faith to believe for that." You know, you can believe what you believe, but my faith isn't as strong as that. I'm not up to that level. I haven't advanced. And that may be true. You know, maybe you haven't been on the... you've had a lot of experience in faith and using faith. And you say, "Well, I've not really got a lot of faith. My faith is small." And this disciples came. They were in a similar position. They said, "Lord, increase our faith." But then Jesus turned to them and He said, "Look," He says, "if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." He said, it's not how much faith you've got. It's not the quantity. It's the type of faith you've got. Or it's where you put your faith. So you don't need a lot of faith. You only need faith, as Jesus said, as the size of a mustard seed. And if you've got faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, "Be pulled up by the roots," and it would obey Him. Next, I want to show you something else. The next verse, I'm reading from Luke 17, verse 5, 6, and 7, where it says, "The apostle said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' And the Lord said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, being pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you.'" And then He goes on to say these words, and He's not changing His subject. He's keeping the same train of thought. He says, which of you having a servant ploughing or tending sheep will say to him when he's coming from the field, come at once, sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you can eat and drink? See, he goes on to talk about the role of a servant. Now he's still talking about faith. The role of a servant, you know, faith, you can say to this mulberry tree, uprooted and planted in the sea. You liken faith to a seed. What do you do with seeds? You put them in the ground. You plant them. You sow them. You do something with them. And you have to do the same with faith. You have to use it. You have to direct it to the Lord. Yes, why are you so little? Oh, you have little faith. They've gone through the same things that the disciples, because it's the same account. You know, the boat was filling up with water, the waves were beating on the side of the ship, and Matthew doesn't say that they thought, well, why don't you care that we're perishing? He says, look, we're perishing. And Jesus woke up and says, look, why are you so fearful? Are you of little faith? It's not how much faith you have, but how you use it. And that's important. That brings me on to my third point tonight, and final point, which is the question that Jesus asked the disciples, or the response in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. We're here in Luke's Gospel. It says these words. It says they came to him, and now it says as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. I love that verse there. They were in jeopardy. You know, this is a situation now, their lives are in danger. And they came to him, they woke him and said, Master, Master, we're perishing. And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And then he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Yes, we've seen that it's no good having no faith. Even a little faith is good. But it's got to be used. Because that brings us on to this question, where is your faith? Now the scripture tells us at least, and there are probably a lot more, but at least five places that we should put our faith. The first one is we put our faith in God. That's where our faith needs to be. Mark 11:22 says this, Jesus answered and said to his disciples, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Not in a man, not in a church, not in a professional, not in some other organization, but have faith in God. You don't have faith in religion or in movements. You have faith in God. That's where our faith needs to be directed. It needs to be put in God. The scripture says this, it's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. It's better to put your trust in the one who holds the world in the palms of his hands than in any man, in any organization, in any church. You know, these professionals, they're that good. They're experts in their field. But that's all they're experts in, their field. You know, we have an expert who's an expert in his field. And that's what we need to put our faith. He knows what he's doing. He created us. He's God. He keeps us. And he's the one that we should put our trust in and our confidence. Put that in God alone. Have faith in God. Now the second place that the Bible tells us we should have faith. Actually, that's in Jesus. Yeah, we can have faith in God, but that's a lot of people, that's just religion. Yeah, I believe in God. I believe in God, yeah. But Jesus, it's got to go more than that. In actual fact, Jesus himself said this. Listen to these words, the words of Jesus himself. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Yes, you believe in God. And he was talking to his disciples, and they were quite religious people. You know, they'd grown up with in religion, in Judaism. They'd come up and they'd been taught, and they'd been, their mother would have taught them the things that they... And everybody believed in God. But Jesus says, look, you've got to go more. He says, yes, you believe in God, but you believe also in me. Believe in me. Believe in the one whom God sent. And that's that great scripture which goes on to tell, look, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. But believe in me, Jesus said. You know, when questions the apostle, the great apostle Paul is there, but you know, as we hear so often, you know, the word saved there can also mean to be healed, to be delivered, you know, to be set free. And if we've got anything else, what must we do to be free? What must we do to be forgiven? What must we do to be healed? What must we do to receive from... And the apostle answers back and he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, put your faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you will be saved, or you will be healed. You will be delivered. You will be set free. Not just you, but you and your house. That's what Paul went on to say there. So you believe in God, believe in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus as well. Then the third place we need to put our faith. And not many people put their faith here. But the apostle Peter stood up. After a lame man had been healed, he'd been laid daily, it says, at the beautiful gate of the temple. He was unable to walk, unable to do anything. And Peter ministered to him, and Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and they passed this lame man who sat on the roadside begging. And you know the scripture, it says, Peter looked at him, and he said, look, he said, I haven't got silver, I haven't got gold. He says, but I've got something I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And then Peter went on after that in verse 16, he says, and it's his name through faith in his name. That's what's made this man strong who stands before you now. Yes, the faith which comes through him, as through Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you. It's faith in the name of Jesus. Yes, we put our faith in Jesus, but we put faith in his name. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Because there's something about the name of Jesus. That God has highly exalted that name. And that God has chosen that there's salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus. You know, faith in Jesus' name receives what is needed from God. You know, just listen to this scripture. This is a scripture we quote very frequently. Jesus telling his disciples, he's just told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is just before he's taken up into heaven to be with his Father. And Jesus says these words, he says, these signs will follow those who believe. Now in most translations of the scripture, most Bibles, there's a semicolon there, or an end of a phrase. These signs shall follow those who believe. But I'm sure you know this, and I've told you before, and that there's no punctuation in the original language. So we could read it like this: and these signs will follow those who believe in my name, comma, they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And it goes, lists all the things that you do. Let me read it to you. Let me read it in the way I want it to sound. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. These signs shall follow those who believe. Now most often we read that, in my name they will do this. If we believe in the name of Jesus, it's really just the same. It's just the way we put the punctuation. It says the same. It means the same. But those who believe in my name will cast out the demons. Those who believe in my name will speak with new tongues. Those who believe in my name will take up serpents. Those who believe in my name will, if they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. Those who believe in my name will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Put our faith in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The fourth thing, there's only five, and one four, we'll be finishing. Where's your faith? Yes, it's in God. It should be in Jesus. It should be in the name of Jesus. Then the Bible says, with persuasive words of human wisdom. I didn't come preaching a message which tickled your ears. I didn't come, and Paul's well able to do that. Paul sat and studied at the best university there was. He had the best professor in town. He knew the scriptures. And he could tie anybody up in knots. So we haven't got time tonight to go through and show you how he even did that, in record that in the book of Acts. How he persuaded men from the word of God. But he said, I didn't come with using my intellect. I didn't come with words of human wisdom, says, but I came in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should be in the power of God. Faith shouldn't be in any type of man, any type of, not even in your intellect or your education. It's not in your own understanding, not even in your own wisdom. You might think, well, I've got a good idea. I'm allowed to get out of this problem. Oh, hold it. Your faith is not in anything of yourself. It's in the power of God. God's going to get us out of this problem. Yes, he might quicken your memory, he might quicken your intellect to do something, but let's be quick to give the praise to God. You say, yeah, I've done it. Or I came up with, yeah, you might have come up, but God gave the idea.
Amen.
God quickened you. Now God gave you the intellect. God gave you the wisdom. You know, let's stop putting our faith in God's power rather than in human effort and endeavour. Then finally, the Bible tells us that we need to put our faith in His Word, or the promises of God. Actually, that Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's where it comes from. That's where it grows. That's where it's, it's the breeding ground for faith. When we read God's word, when we hear God's word, you know, faith is established in our hearts. Hebrews tells us this. It says, indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as them. It says, but the word which they heard, he's talking about God's people of old. He says, the word which they heard did not profit them because they didn't mix faith with it. It wasn't mixed with faith. You know, faith wasn't in what God had said. And so it didn't profit them. So if we're going to profit, and I'm not talking about profit financially, I'm talking about profit beneficially. We're going to receive what we need from God. If we're going to profit, we've got to mix faith with the word of God. You know, Peter, that great apostle, and he wrote a great letter to the church, and his opening phrases, or his opening theme in his second letter, puts it like this, and I will finish with this thought tonight. He writes, his letter is addressed to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, he says, let grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, amen, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature.
Hallelujah.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now how did he start off? He started off addressing those with lack of precious faith. And then he's carrying on this thought. You know that? You know, it's faith in God, in the divine power. Faith in these exceedingly great and precious promises, because he continues his theme of faith. In verse 5 he says, for this reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You know, faith. Where is your faith? You know, tonight we might have come in with various places and various things going on in our life. Maybe you've got needs which no one else knows about. But don't be like those disciples that have no faith. Because without faith you cannot please God. Without faith there's no hope. If you can say, well, I've got a little bit of faith, that's good enough. Because that's all that's required, is just a little bit of faith. What we've got to do is channel that faith into the right place. Now, where is your faith? Your faith needs to be in God. Your faith needs to be in Jesus. You need to put it in His name. Faith in His name. Faith in God's power to perform a miracle for you today. Faith in what God says. If God says something, God's promised you that if you can believe, you will be saved. You can be fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded tonight that God cannot break His word? Because if you know God cannot break His word, then you can expect God to do what He says He will do. So if He says that if you believe, you will be saved, when you put your faith in Him, you can be saved. You will be saved. If you believe that you have faith in Him, or He's the healer, and He says, I am the Lord that heals you, and you're fully persuaded that God cannot lie, then when you put your faith in His word, His promise that He's our healer, you will be healed.
Hallelujah.
If He says that He is the Lord who is our provider, and we're fully persuaded that God is who He says He is, then we can trust Him and expect God to be our provider and provide for our needs. And you can go through the scriptures, every scripture. You know, exceedingly great and precious promises. Now I've got a note in my Bible, and I don't know whether this is right, but I heard somebody say it once. I think it's I've got a number in the margin of my Bible, which I've written in pen. I must have heard somebody say it once. It might have been Pastor A in Malta, when he was in Malta. But I've got the number 7,000. That's probably that must be how many exceedingly great and precious promises there are in the scriptures. 7,000. That every one of those 7,000 promises, if we're fully persuaded, if our faith is in the right place, that God is who He says He is, that God cannot lie, if we've got our faith in His word, then every one of those promises we can expect God to fulfill for us tonight.
Amen.
In this hall. Now there's not many of us, but God is still the same. God is here. And maybe tonight we need forgiveness. Well, we're going to pray right now. I want you to receive from the Lord tonight. Where is your faith? Don't have no faith. Even if you can just muster a little faith, that's good. Let's channel it. Where is your faith? If it's in man, it's in the wrong place. If it's in a church, it's in the wrong place. If it's in what the professional, the doctor or the solicitor or, you know, a counsellor has said to you, it's in the wrong place. If your faith is in some movement, it's in the wrong place. If it's in your own ability or your education, it's in the wrong place. Let's get our faith in the right place. Let's direct it to God. Have faith in God.
Thank you, Lord.
Now tonight we're going to pray right now. to be still in God's presence. Allow God to just speak to us tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now I believe tonight God is actually speaking to you. Various individuals, maybe different things. Maybe God's dealing with an area of your life that is private to you. Only you know about it. And I want to encourage you tonight, as God deals. You know, this isn't you thinking. This is what God is putting His hand upon your life. He's doing something right now. Ministering to folk. Different ones.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, He's saying you can be healed. You can have that need met. You can be forgiven of that sin. You're healing various ones on different subjects, a range of different things. Tonight that you are doing something the wrong way. Well, you know the right way because He can deal with you in the past. You just not walk that path. You pushed it thinking it's your own thoughts or something. But God's saying, no, that's my direction for you. All He's asking for us tonight is to put our faith in you. Put our trust in you. Are you fully persuaded tonight that God is who He says He is?
Hallelujah.
That He is Lord, He is Savior. He's healer. He's deliverer. He's our guide, our counselor. He's our advocate. The only mediator between God and man. If God is who He says He is, then everything He's ever said or everything He's ever claimed, you know it's trustworthy.
Thank you,
Lord. You can fully expect God to. I'm going to pray right now. And as I pray, just receive from the Lord that which you need tonight. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's a healing touch. Maybe it's some other wisdom or direction from God. Just reach out and pray. You know, I thought the woman in the scriptures, that she pressed through and touched the heaven. She pushed through every obstacle. She overcame every hindrance. Then she came to Jesus and He reached out and prayed and she touched Him and she drew on the supply. Now, Father, love and just pray tonight. Father, we come before you. Father, I just ask you, Lord, just to do all the mighty things, Lord, in this place. And Lord, just move, Lord, in power. Father, Lord, Lord, touch each and every one of us. Lord, we declare at the beginning, Lord, you touch us. Father, and all the joy that floods our soul. Father, just flood our soul with joy that we know, Lord, your touch. Lord, we know your healing touch. Lord, we know your, Lord, wisdom, Lord, being spoken for, Lord, that we know your forgiveness. Lord, we know, Lord, your Lord, ministry, Lord, into our lives and our situations.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, we will get our eyes off of these situations, Lord. Lord, our other disciples, Lord, they kept looking at the boat, they kept looking at the water. Lord, they looked at the wind, they looked at the waves. Father, they looked at the storm clouds. Father, Lord, Lord, when they should have been looking at the water within the boat.
Thank you.
Father, we just, Lord, come before you. Direct our faith to you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that our faith, Lord, pleases you. Lord, we come expecting you. Lord, you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, Lord, we declare that. Lord, we believe it. Lord, that's enough for us. Lord, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Father, we come before you, Lord, bring our needs. Lord, we say sorry for that sin, Father, we commit. Lord, we come before you, Lord, bringing, Lord, that sickness and our pains. Lord, take it, Father, we pray. Lord, heal us, deliver us, set us free. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Lord, I'll forgive you. Thank you, Lord, for the community. Lord, thank you for such a chance. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord, for taking you. Lord, those things on us. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
Jesus, hallelujah.